Is anyone else just constantly worrying? I feel like it can't just be me, but I feel like worry should be my middle name. But I have recently discovered Cover My Bubble. Cover My Bubble are a family insurance company who started their business in memory of their daughter. When Lilybeth passed away, they didn't have any insurance and lost Emma's income into the family, which was very difficult. They are here to help families with affordable insurances such as life, critical illness, income protection, children's cover and bump cover. Yep, children can be covered too. Now Emma loves a question, so why not reach out to her at Cover My Bubble and let her help you. Hello and welcome back to my podcast, Tits, Tums and All Things Mum. I am your host Lottie and I am here to normalise normal parenthood and to show everyone that really we're all just winging it. Join me and my amazing guests to make sense of the chaos and work through motherhood together. Hello and welcome back to Tits, Tums and All Things Mum and our first ever studio podcast recording at Cheeky Monkey Video Studios. I'm so excited. And I've got the lovely Emily back on with us today. Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Very good.
Are you excited?
I'm so excited.
I am ridiculously excited. So today we are doing confessions and we are doing parenting fails. So you guys have submitted all of your parenting fails and I'm not going to lie, when I was writing them down last night, I was like, oh my Jesus, what is going on right now? What have these mums been doing? But yeah, it is hilarious. So let's get straight into it. First, can you tell us a little bit about you?
I'm Emily. I run the Mum Practitioner on Instagram and I basically love play and talk about simple play ideas, but also just general parenting life because, you know, it's hard.
It is.
It's so
evidently
so hard.
From these confessions. Yeah.
I know. I'm hoping, like, no offence to the people that have, like, sent them in, but I'm hoping that I'll feel better about my own parenting as well.
I don't know.
Although I've got plenty of parenting fails too.
I was going to say I've got my fair share of parenting fails as well and I can relate to all of these. So yeah, shall we get our first confession?
I think so.
So my child was having a meltdown because her water was too wet. Oh. I mean, standard.
Yeah.
I was at the end of my tether, so I said, we'll dry it with some toilet roll then. She then ate the toilet roll. Parenting fail.
Oops.
Do you know what though? Kids are so irrational with their tantrums. My water is too wet.
It's just one of those things, like, I've had this banana's too banana-y. And I was like, I don't know how to unbanana a banana.
But have you ever peeled a banana wrong?
Yes. Yeah, I don't touch the, but so for my eldest, I just pass it to her. That is the rule. And then for my youngest, I have to peel it and it has to be in a certain bowl. Before he'll eat it and I can't cut it. It's just got to go. It doesn't even fit in the bowl, but it needs to be in this specific bowl.
Oh my God. Isn't it hilarious that you have to learn these new rules of life when you become a parent?
Do you know, I was trying to explain to my husband about like cooking, right, in general. And I do about 5 different meals, it feels like.
Yeah.
And he literally was like, how do you do dinner? And I was like, exactly. And you wonder why I get so like flustered. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's then even more heartbreaking, isn't it, than when they don't?
Yeah. Don't when you've put all this effort into their favourite meal that they said that they absolutely love, and then they're like, don't want it. Mm-hmm. It's like,
yeah. Going back to the toilet roll, though, there's some people that genuinely eat it as it's like a thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a like a fetish almost, isn't it? Or like the opposite of a phobia.
Yeah.
They eat. Because people, pregnant people also sometimes eat like coal or like the foam out of chairs.
My mum craved brick.
Oh.
Yeah, like she said that if she saw a red brick wall, she wanted to scratch it and eat it.
Oh,
isn't that so weird?
Gross.
But you get the cravings, don't you? So that it's something's missing in your body, some sort of mineral or whatever.
I wonder what mineral equates to brick.
I don't know. gross. But I don't think that's too much of a parenting fail.
No, no.
I think that's like a scenario that was essentially unavoidable.
Yeah.
Like that they just ate the toilet roll.
Kids are just irrational with their tantrums and their wants. And yeah.
I think the win from it is that did they drink the water after, though? That's what I kind of want to know.
At least they're hydrated, even if it is with a little bit of toilet roll.
Yeah.
Right, the next one on funny kids. So this Christmas just gone, my 8 and 6-year-olds wanted to use their pocket money to buy gifts for a few friends and family. I'm all for teaching about money and gift giving. So we went to Sainsbury's and I let them go off and choose the presents. Thank God I went with them to the till because they'd picked up a pink vibrator for their nan.
So in Sainsbury's?
A hairbrush. Have you not seen them?
What?
They're at the end of an aisle. Like all the sex toys are at the end of an aisle, like at child's height.
No.
I'm telling you, go to Sainsbury's, go up to where the like hair stuff is, end of an aisle.
Wow.
All the vibrators. I saw them there a couple of months ago and I was
That's
like,
not
what
okay,
the hell?
Right.
I guess they're trying to normalise sex and
okay.
all of that. I don't know. But yeah, it was for Nan. Nan was going to get a pink vibrator. I wonder if Nan would
Maybe
have
Nan
enjoyed
one.
That pink. Maybe Nan would have loved the pink vibrator.
Oh, God, maybe not from the grandchild.
No, but yeah, they thought it was a hairbrush. So yeah, bless them.
I mean, the thought was there.
The thought was there.
The
but...
poor mum. Like, how would you explain? Like, did you say she was at the till?
She said, so, like, I went to the till with them. So I guess so, yeah.
Like, what do you then do? Like, oh, we don't need this product. Like, who do you hand it over to? Like, oh, whoops, I accidentally put it into my basket.
I'd just, like, leave it and run. I'd just be like, nope, shove it over there, run away.
Like, with the chocolates.
Yeah.
For somebody else to be at the till. Be like, why is there a vibrator there?
But imagine they were slightly older and they got as far as actually buying it, wrapping it. And giving it to Nan, what would Nan's face be like?
Oh, she'd either be happy on the inside but embarrassed on the outside.
That would be a
Depends
story.
Depends if Nan has a partner or not.
Doesn't matter if she does.
Well,
Go on,
that's
Nan.
That's very true.
Go enjoy yourself, love.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, thank God that wasn't my kid. How embarrassing.
I'd have to, like, I have a very inquisitive child.
Yeah.
She'd have to know. Why can't we buy it?
Yeah.
What is it for?
Yeah.
And I'm not quick enough to normally think of other things that it could be.
Yeah.
I might have gone down like the toothbrush like route.
Maybe.
Especially if it was like...
Or be like, Nan's already got that hairbrush. Because she probably has. She's probably got a little box on her bed.
I literally can't believe that they're just in Sainsbury's.
I know.
That's mad.
It's mad. Right. I burnt myself on the oven and my initial reaction was to shout, fuck a duck. My daughter was 2 and turned it into a song that went, oh God, have I got to sing this now?
Yeah.
Right. Fuck a duck, quack, 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 fuck a duck, quack, 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 all day long. And she sung that all day long.
Oh dear. Do you know what though? Like on the whole swearing front, like... Me and my husband naturally say a few words, like, all the time, right?
Yeah.
To each other, like, not always at each other, but...
It's at each other.
Yeah,
it's
generally. it's so hard, isn't it? Because I saw a thing the other day that said that, you know, it's part of actual... it is a language in itself, and it's only our reaction and how we view it that makes those words, like, bad. Like, they are bad, aren't they? And, like, you wouldn't really want your child walking around, like, saying the C word.
Yeah.
But I just think sometimes they're going to learn these words at school anyway.
Yeah.
And
you know what?
She's made a cute little song about it.
I know, exactly. It's cute. But now that Bella can read, you know, my decor in my house is quite quirky and I have swear words everywhere in my house and Bella can read now. So she'll just be like, fuck that, or like, oh, epic shit. And I'm like, oh, God's sake, Bella, stop reading it. Oh. So she knows what the swear words are, but as long as she's not using them in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
However, it was really funny once she dropped something and she went, oh, for fuck's sake. And she looked at me, went bright red and just burst into tears. So she knew that it was wrong, but it just came out. And I didn't tell her off. I just laughed. And then I spoke to her after and was like, look, that's a bad word.
Don't use it.
We don't use it. But like, that was really funny.
So I say, like, Jesus Christ all the time.
Yeah.
And so does my youngest now. All the time.
What? He says it all the time.
Yeah.
He's so cute though.
I know. So, for example, I knocked over all of his, like, we'd built a tower up and he was very proud of it and he wanted to knock it over, but I got up and I knocked it all over. He went, oh, Jesus Christ, Mum. I was like, sorry. I'm sorry. And my husband hates it and he's like, you've taught him that. I'm like, I'm sorry. But I feel like that's not too bad.
Yeah.
As long as he doesn't say it once he starts preschool.
Yeah.
But my eldest has learned, like, she tells me when she's been at school and she's found out new words.
Yeah.
Like, the biggest one was shit. She came back, she was like, I know another word for poo. And I was like, do you?
She's like so proud of herself.
Yeah. She's like, yep, it's a bad, bad word. I was like, is it now?
Oh,
and she was like, it begins with a shush sound. And I was like, oh God, she actually does know it.
Oh,
I was like, okay, tell me. And I was like, you're not in trouble. Like, we're just having a conversation about it. She's like, shit. And I was like, okay. She's like, it's really nice to say. Mm-hmm. She's like, and when I'm cross, I think it in my head. I was like, yeah, okay, fair enough.
That's hilarious. The worst
one was we were driving home once and she was like, Mum, I know another bad, bad word, but it's like really, really bad.
Oh.
And I was like, okay. She's like, it starts with a K. And I was like, oh no, it can't be. This is way too early. I'm not prepared for that word.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, shall I tell it to you? And I won't be in trouble. And I was like, yeah, tell it to me. And I was getting prepared and I was driving as well. And I was like, oh my God. It was cow.
Oh.
It was cow. Shit, somebody had called somebody a cow.
Oh.
And the teacher had explained that it's really, really bad to call somebody that and that it's not kind.
Yeah.
And she was like, I just didn't know that cow could be such a bad word. And I was like, yeah, just don't call people it, babes.
Yeah.
Then we'll be okay.
She's just beside herself like, oh my God, I know this new bad word. Oh, bless her.
Yeah.
But I just can't imagine your youngest saying Jesus Christ because he's just so cute.
But he doesn't even say it properly. I can't even like reiterate like how he actually says it, but it's like the cutest thing too. So it's just... my mum on the other hand is very like, she's quite religious, so she's very disappointed.
My mum's the worst. She was the one who taught Bella at 18 months old when she was driving. She went, oh, bloody traffic lights. And from 18 months old, Bella would be like, oh, bloody traffic lights, just walking around everywhere. And
I guess they don't know like with that song. Oh, I just hit the mic. They don't know that it's like a bad word.
Yeah.
They know, they just, it's a word to them.
Yeah.
So singing that song, actually, it's not a bad thing.
It's just a cute little ditty.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, I just feel like the parenting fail, I think, is then when it happens out. When you can't then set the boundary for it.
Yeah.
So like when you go out and like, I don't know, little man starting to say Jesus Christ to like whoever, then that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
But I think in general, like I think once you've got the boundaries around it, that's when you're parenting well.
Yeah.
Like that's the good part of parenting.
Yeah.
When you're like, yes, I know you know how to say shit, but we only say it in this circumstance.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
Right. Next one. Oh, we're on to breastfeeding.
Okay.
So I feel like there's so many breastfeeding parenting fails. It's not like a parenting fail, but like a...
There's a lot around it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was breastfeeding in Starbucks. My baby fell asleep and I was so exhausted. I didn't notice that he'd come off the boob. I ended up flashing everyone until a lovely lady let me know.
Oh.
I feel like, has that not just happened to every breastfeeding mum?
And I feel like, and it's luckily... Do you know, I find as well, when you're feeding, a lot of people generally tend to start looking away because they feel awkward.
Yeah.
So that older lady or the lady that came over, she would have just felt the pain, like related heavily and then gone over.
Yeah. I remember breastfeeding in public and a little old lady came up to me and was like, well done. You don't see many mums doing it in public these days and you're making it okay for all the other mums out there. So well done. And I was like, oh, that's so cute.
See, with my eldest, we had an awful, awful time and I didn't end up breastfeeding for very long.
Yeah.
But I remember going into, there was the mother care and there used to be the little cafe in there.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like my first time in public and like... my husband made such a song and dance fit. He was like holding up a muzzy, like trying to like block me off. And I was like, you are making it more obvious that I am feeding right now. Yeah. And he's like, I'm just trying to like protect you. Oh. And I was like, just making me feel so awkward.
Could you imagine him like erecting like a windbreaker or something?
Yeah, like just 2 seconds. So she just needs to feed for a minute. Yeah.
No, I think it's pretty normal now. Like I've answered the door so many times with like half a boob out because I was breastfeeding and someone's knocked at the door.
There was a lady who on the Amazon delivery picture I've seen it somewhere.
Oh, I've seen
on
that
socials
go viral. Yeah,
where like basically she had been feeding, hadn't put her boob away, and the dad had got a text message saying like your tit was out, by the way, when the Amazon delivery came. Just so you know. And then it's there, isn't it, in like the corner of the picture.
I feel like
could
that's
be an elbow
to the best of us though, hasn't it?
Yeah, really? I mean, I don't think I've ever answered the door too bad. I mean, they might have answered the door and been like, oh my God, she's not slept or done anything, showered, eaten for like 24 hours. Yeah. But you know, when you like open the door, you're like...
24 hours, that's generous, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is quite... But yeah, I haven't had a tit fail.
Yeah.
Yet.
I have another tit fail on here for us as well. I was at a baby sensory group. We were sat in a circle, but my baby wanted a feed. I was feeding her, but she pulled off just as I had my letdown. I super soaked the whole circle with my breast milk.
Oh, no. What, like, wow. Okay. I mean, it's got good antibiotics in it. Might help somebody's skin.
It's good for the skin, isn't it?
Yeah, so, I got conjunctivitis like 2 weeks after my youngest was born, and it was bad, really bad. And I remember they were still helping me like latch him on and stuff. And the midwife or health visitor that came around, she like literally gave my boob a little squeeze, took some and like rubbed it on my face. And I was like, okay,
what just happened?
And she was like, oh, it's just for your conjunctivitis, it'll make it heal really, really quickly. Literally in 24 hours. A major difference. I was just a bit shocked by like the general scenario that happened.
Well, at least she put it on your finger and didn't just turn your boob upwards and squirt it directly into your eye.
But like, I don't think mine were ever that like that powerful.
Oh really?
Yeah.
God, I feel like mine were like super soakers.
I think that's why like we had such a bad, like, I've seen about all these teas and stuff that you can do, like, but after, I mean, he's like 2, almost 3 now, but like, and I mean, I'm never probably doing any sort of pregnancy ever again. Like, you couldn't pay me, like, obviously we'd have to have IVF, but you couldn't pay me to pay the people to do it again. I'm so done.
I am with you on that one. I remember when Bailey was first kind of born, in the first like 6 months or so, I was getting a bit sad that he was my last, because you're doing all like the last firsts. And I was like, oh, I don't think I'm done. And now I am done. I'm like, literally, Alec, do you want me to get you a vasectomy for Christmas? Because I'm game. Like, let's do it.
I mean, we're fortunate that we have, like, not fortunate, that sounds awful. Like, obviously, IVF was a very long and grueling process. Like, it wasn't fun at all. But sometimes when people are like, oh, I've got to do this contraception, this and that, like, oh, I've just had the coil. And I'm just like, I don't have to.
My children are my contraception. I do not need any form of contraception. They are quite enough.
Yet sometimes, you know, when you have like when you see your baby, like your friend's babies and stuff like that, and I'm a bit like, oh, babies, I'll pass it back.
But you just steal their baby. And then when they cry, you give it back. Or like play with their baby when they're older, when they have a tantrum, give it back. You don't have to deal with any of that.
I think that's why, like, when we were doing all the IVF stuff, I was obviously in childcare, so I was with like 24 kids a day. And I think sometimes that does also get you through, because you're with so many other children and you're influencing them and educating them in those sorts of ways. So it's nice. And I think that's why sometimes as well I miss being in childcare.
Because
you don't get all those different characters all the time. And like you say, it is kind of like a contraception, because you're like, oh, well, I've got all of these guys to like look after too. But so like sometimes I get like, no, I wouldn't. I don't think I could go back now, knowing how tired I am just looking after two kids.
Yeah.
And it was a lot. Like, even just when I had my eldest working, I had, like, say on the busiest day, it was 26 preschoolers.
Oh, Lord.
Four or five staff. Mm. And, you know, like, it is a lot. And then you'd go home and you're still in childcare mode. Oh, you're still then doing the bedtime. And sometimes actually the one compared to the 26 is harder.
Yeah.
Because they're pushed, like, they don't push as many buttons because there's teacher boundaries that they kind of respect. Whereas your own kid is just like, good luck.
It's like your own kid gets home from school or preschool or wherever, and all of their emotions from the entire day come out to you, and you're like, fuck a duck, and as this kid said.
Literally. Yeah. And like, I feel overstimulated and done by the end of the day. And then you almost have to, like, borrow, like, you know, you can spend spoons. Have you heard that? You get 24 spoons a day.
No.
I reckon I've spent my 24 by about lunchtime. Mm. I need to then, like, find forks and knives to, like, then deal with the rest of the day. Like, I don't know how sometimes, you know, when you get to bed and you're like, How
did I do today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
I think that's why I put my kids to bed at 6:30. Because I'm like, my spoons, my forks, my everything gone.
Mm.
And I'm like, right, go to bed now. But then they do wake up at the crack of dawn because I've put them to bed so early. But I think...
Mine still wake up early.
Yeah. Either way, whichever time I put them to bed, they wake up early. So I'm like, I might as well do 6:30.
Yeah.
Gets me some peace and quiet in the evening. Right, on to the next one. Oh, we're on to poop.
Oh,
how
cool.
Lovely.
Nice.
So, sorry. My brother and his girlfriend came round for tea. My 8-month-old had done a poo and my brother offered to change what he thought was just a wet nappy. I sat by her head for some moral support. As he removed her leggings, his face dropped. To prove how much poo there was, I held the leggings up. In slow motion, the contents of the leggings fell onto my daughter's open-mouthed face.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
So there was a bit of a poonami situation.
Sounds like it, yeah, because they were in the leggings, not the nappy. Yeah, because it was an 8-month-old, so not potty trained. So they dropped poo in their 8-month-old's mouth.
Whoopsies.
Oh, dear. Honestly, though, poonamis are... Like, how do you clear them up?
Sometimes, in the bath?
Yeah, that's
unless you're out. Done.
Yeah.
Then you're stuffed.
I had one once. We were on the way to Wellington Country Park and Bailey did one. I felt like the car seat was always where he did one because, I don't know, position-wise, car seats are great for pooping. And he'd done a poonami and it was everywhere. It was up to his shoulders.
Oh, no.
It was all in the car seat. And I was like... I don't actually know what to do right now. I don't know how to deal
with
this.
Some of them, like, there's no amount of baby wipes that will fix it.
No.
Do you know, I actually have an emergency basket in our car.
Oh, that is the best.
It's got a little car cleaner, like with the carpet cleaner in it as well. Then I've got the kitchen roll, bin bags, and then I've got two sets of clothes and big, big baby wipes. So not the, like, little wipes. They're, like, the big industrial type ones.
The type that you need for a poonami.
Yeah, well... That it wasn't originally for poonamis, but ended up being more so for my youngest. But for my eldest, I don't know why, like, we never got to the bottom of it, but she was a really sicky baby. And when I say sicky, it wasn't just like a blah. It was like a blah. And like 4 days worth would come out.
Oh my
Not just like the bottle she just had. It was like she'd saved everything.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And that was all the time. So that's when the emergency basket got made.
That is a good idea. Yeah. I think every parent should have that.
It's been a lifesaver.
I've had to actually, I've been uptown before and Bailey's done a poonami and I've, well, three poonamis and I've got through all of the outfits and then I've run out of outfits and had to go into Primark and buy more outfits.
Yeah, we've bought an outfit before. Just like the whole shebang. We had to go get more nappies because I was like, maybe he's now in the wrong size.
Yeah.
So we then went and got the next size nappy up and then had to buy a whole new outfit
as well.
Oh my God. Yeah, and we were like in the middle of France when that one happened.
Oh my God.
So we were trying to... explain the size we needed and try and find a bit. It was very, very stressful.
It sounds it. Yeah. I've just had so many punamis like go on in my life. I can think of all the stories, but I remember the one that Bella first did. And obviously she was my first. It was her first punami. I didn't know that punamis were a thing back then. So when she did it, she had a vest and a baby grow on. And I saw this tiny little circle of yellow on like up near her shoulder blade.
Oh my God.
And I was like, what is that? And then I unpopped her sleep suit. And then there was a line of yellow on her vest. And I was like, oh no. So it's got through the vest. It's got through the sleep suit. It was up to her shoulders. It was in her hair. Ugh. It was my first ever punami. And I phoned Alec and I was like, I don't know what to do. How do I deal with this right now? I had to strip her off and just put her in the bath. But
that's
she was
all you can do.
A baby and she screamed. She didn't like it. And there was just poo everywhere. I binned all of her clothes because I was like, I'm not going to deal with that.
There's just some you just
that.
Can't save.
Yeah.
You
just can't. But I do know a tip about those actually.
Oh, really?
If you rinse them out, put them through the wash and then hang them out in the sun like bleaches them back to normal.
Yeah. So, little but tip. That would only work with white, would that?
No, I think it just bleaches the poo stain out of all clothes.
Woohoo.
Yeah, it does dribble as well because you know they get that yellow dribble line around their neck. Yeah,
yeah. Or sun cream.
Oh yeah,
sun
cream as well. Yeah.
It's always about the sun cream.
All these little tips we have to learn as parents.
Right.
So, another poo story. I was at a picnic with my entire family. My baby was about 3 to 4 months and had done a punami, another punami, that had seeped onto the picnic blanket.
Oh, no.
I told myself, I'll clear that up in a sec. But as I changed the baby, I saw my auntie open the hummus, then use her little finger to clear up what she thought was the hummus on the mat and put it in her mouth.
Oh, that's so disgusting.
It is hummus coloured.
Ew.
It's hummus coloured.
No, it's not.
It is.
No, it's not hummus.
I remember.
It's like yellowy.
Yeah, like yellowy, creamy coloured.
Oh,
and it's lumpy like hummus.
How did the auntie react?
I need the answers. I need more answers to this question, to this confession.
That actually makes me feel really sick.
I need to know, like, did she find out it was poo or did we just let it slide? Did she taste that it was poo?
What if she liked it?
Oh, God.
Just dipped, got a bit of pitta and scraped up the rest.
Because it probably doesn't actually taste like poo, like you'd think poo would taste like, because they just live off of milk.
I'm just
maybe it tasted a bit like hummus.
Quite a bit.
Lord.
But like, no, I don't feel like it's the right colour or texture. I don't think you'd make that mistake. Well, obviously
you would.
Why
else would you put it on your finger and eat it?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, that would scar you for life. How would you ever look at that person in the face ever again?
How would you ever eat hummus again?
You wouldn't.
That would break my heart. Yeah. No hummus.
Well, would either of you eat it after that
scenario? Probably not. No. I think we need her to expand on this story and tell her
that's
what
like
what
a
happened.
Therapy session after doing something like that.
Yeah.
Like, how would you recover?
Definitely. I don't know.
Mm-mm.
But honestly,
I've never eaten poo. Just putting it out there. I don't think.
Do you know what's bad is that I had to think about whether I've eaten poo because,
well,
you know,
you are a nurse. You could have had it like flown
I've
at you at some point.
Splattered with poo
everywhere. Well, to be fair, we all have.
Yeah.
I've worked in a preschool. We had a poo thrower once.
Oh,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, I used to like throwing it on the walls.
As in like fishing it out of nappy or
no,
like, doing it into
hand?
No, not
out of nappy, out of the toilet. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh God, I hope I don't get my children don't turn into poo throwers.
So I've got in once and been like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, oh, come out. Let's wash you up.
Yeah.
And then have to clean down the walls and stuff.
I think my worst poo story was when Bella pooed in the bath, and she'd never pooed in the bath before, and like, it was a big shock to me, so I didn't know how to deal with it. Mm. And in order to get it out of the bath, you know the IKEA kitchens, and they have like the little miniature sieve. I used the miniature sieve from the IKEA kitchen to sieve all the poop out of the bath. Oh, but then another one, Bailey pooed in, he had a swim nappy on, but he pooed in it and it must have been quite a loose poo.
Mm-hmm.
And there was all these yellow flakes in the swimming pool. And I was like, is it, what's going on? Is this coming from a tree? Like, what is all this stuff?
Why a tree?
Because I just didn't know, because there was a tree above the pool. And I was like, are these bits of tree? What's going on? And I was fishing it out with the little net thing. And more just kept appearing. And I was like, what is going on?
Oh, no.
And Alec came out and was like, has he done a poo? And I was like, oh no, it's poo. And I just let them carry on playing in the pool. And I was like, oh, they're literally swimming in like liquid shit right now.
Yum. So I guess that's what the chlorine's
for. I know.
They have to empty a whole pool, don't they? Did you tell them?
No, it was my paddling pool at home.
Oh, okay.
So I had to empty the paddling pool. Yeah.
That's fine.
But yeah, could you imagine if it was at like a swimming lesson and we were the reason that they had to like empty the whole pool?
Do you know, I won't say which sibling it was, but we went to Disney Florida and one of my siblings ended up having a little accident and the whole pool got closed, had to be like drained and cleaned.
Oh,
and like basically for like 3 days the pool was closed, and we heard like kids going past it like crying. They were like, but that's my favorite pool.
And you're the reason that it's closed, because you shat in the pool. But you were admissions here.
I haven't said which sibling it was, so
no. Well, do you, I could probably guess.
Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah.
Do you have any parenting fails that you can think of?
So many.
I know.
There was one where I literally, so my youngest, he must have been about 3 months old, and I was like squishing and going yay, and then squishing and then like yay, and then I literally donked him into the door frame.
Oh no,
that was pretty bad. Like, it was hard as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, he cried and he had this awful bruise on the back of the head. Oh. And at the time he went to nursery, and like trying to explain, like I thrusted him into the door frame, like, oh, trying to explain that. I was like, please, it's honestly, it was an accident.
Haven't we all like donked our kids' heads at some point though? Like getting in and out of the car, so many times I've hit their heads. Or like,
oh God,
Alex Nan's house, they've got their like staircase kind of comes down across the ceiling, so it's like a sloped ceiling. Yeah. And so many times I've like donked their heads on that as I've walked past. What? So yeah.
I once made my 1-year-old jump. I just went in and I just shouted, "Happy birthday!" Because it was her birthday.
Yeah.
And she was sat on the on our bed, but like right on the edge, and I made her jump, so she flew backwards. I was like, I'm so sorry. So she started off the day like literally like,
happy birthday to you, dog.
And Jerry was like, why do you do that? Because I love making people jump. It wasn't my plan, obviously. I just bumped, like jumped in, was like, happy birthday. She was like, wah!
Oh my God, that is so funny. I think that like so many people have just had parenting fails where they've hurt their children
daily.
As well.
Right? Yeah, it happens daily, all the time.
Daily.
Oh God, this one was bad. My kids, they've had a lot
I'm
of like...
I'm concerned about how many parents... You're like just reeling them off at me now. I'm like, well, come on, keep going.
It's just because I'm so clumsy sometimes. Yeah. I was emptying the dishwasher out of the frying pan. I didn't realise that my youngest was behind me, and I turned around and literally it was like a dong moment.
And he was like something out of Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, he's like, Mummy, you hit me. And I was like, I'm sorry. And then my husband came downstairs because he like works from home, and he was like, what's going on? And I was like, I just hit him with a frying pan. He was like, why? I was like, not on purpose. Yeah, I do stuff like that to mine all the time.
I've done that with the Hoover, like, because sometimes when they were
just
younger.
Thought of another one you said
Emily. I was hoovering, and like Bailey was perfect head height for like my backswing of the Hoover, and he's come up behind me, and like with vigorous strength, I've gone doff into his head, and I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. He like flew over the other side
that
of the living
to me
room.
Literally at the weekend.
Really?
Yep.
Oh no.
Into my eldest's face. Yeah. And she was like, Mum. I was like, I'm sorry, I'm hoovering. You could see the elbow action.
Your poor children.
I know. It's always to the head as well.
Yeah.
Like, because she hit her head when she fell off the bed as well. Oh,
yeah.
God. I hope they've just got enough brain cells left to cope with
if
school.
Not all out.
Yeah. They were like, how are you feeling today? And they were like, oh, well, my head's a bit sore because of, like, Mum.
Imagine they go to school like, my mum hit me around the head with a frying pan and the Hoover.
I mean, he was, yeah.
Do you know what? Speaking of that, I always used to think when, so I used to, God, this is going to sound so bad. I used to, when Bella was little, I used to chase her to the bath going, I'm going to eat your bum. I'm going to eat your bum. And like pretending to nibble it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to stop it when she got to like two, because I was like, imagine if she went to school being like, mummy and daddy chased me to the bathroom telling me they're going to eat my bum.
Yeah. You have to be so careful with everything, don't you? Like, especially like boundary setting. Like, I've started this thing with my two where I say about their bubble.
Yeah.
So they've both got a bubble. And if you feel like somebody's in it, you can tell them.
Yeah.
But sometimes I think, like, where you consciously parent, sometimes it can make, or it can make your kids sound a little bit, not arrogant, mm-hmm. but like, that's how I kind of feel like people think they are sometimes.
Yeah.
Because we were at Christmas, one of my elder relatives were trying to give my eldest a cuddle.
Mm.
And she was like, you're in my bubble and I don't really want you in my bubble right now. And I don't want to give you a hug.
Yeah.
Because I'm setting a boundary.
Yeah.
And like, the older relative obviously didn't take it how perhaps I think some of my like cousins would, like, or like, my siblings know. Yeah. But like, yeah, I just think it's so hard, isn't it? Like, to teach them the right things.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely, you can say that you don't want them in your bubble, but without coming across.
Like, but I think that's a generational thing, though, because I remember as a kid, like, you have to kiss your grandma and granddad goodbye. Yeah. Like, you're not leaving until you've kissed them goodbye. Whereas now, it's like, if you want to give them a kiss, you can. If you don't, then that's absolutely fine. So I think like older generations might be like, who are you to say you can't give us a kiss goodbye? Yeah.
I always make sure that I'm like advocating for that as well. So instead of like, you know how like your soul like wants to give in because you're forced to do that and you're like, come on, give them a cuddle. I've really like, it's a big thing to work on for yourself as well, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
So I always say, like, if they then say it to somebody, I'm like, yeah, that's what I teach them. Yeah. So she doesn't want to give you a hug right now or anything like that.
Yeah. And you know Bailey hates people. Oh, so
so does my youngest.
If anyone wants to give him a kiss or a cuddle, he's like, no, don't like people.
Yeah. Well, we were shopping and this old lady was chatting to us. We were putting stuff on the tills and she was like, oh, are you looking forward to Christmas? And was trying to talk to my youngest. And he was like, mummy, the lady is talking to me.
You do his voice so well.
And I was like, oh, and she was like, oh, it's fine. I can talk to mummy. She was like, oh, you do feel all prepared. And we were having a little chat. And you're like, mummy, she's talking to you now. And I was like, yeah, my son, he's not a fan of people in general. And she was like, oh, it's fine. I can stop talking. But then I felt so awkward because she felt like she couldn't chat to us while I was putting stuff up. And I was like, God.
I know. Bailey's exactly the same. When we went for a Christmas event once, I had him in the pushchair and he was next to another kid in the pushchair, just queuing. And he was like, mummy, get him away from me. Get him away from me. I don't like him. And I was like, oh my God, so embarrassing. I had to apologise to the mum and be like, I'm really sorry. He just doesn't like people. So, yeah.
I wonder, because ours are both like the same age.
Yeah.
Like sometimes I wonder if it's like that, like COVID effect.
Yeah.
Or is it because I have had the luxury of being flexible. So we haven't needed childcare this time round.
Yeah.
But like mine are chalk and cheese. Like literally my eldest walks in and she tries to control a room. Like she's like, look at me. Whereas he walks in, he's like, just don't make eye contact with me or I'm going to lose my shit.
Yeah. My two are exactly the same. Like Bella's a social butterfly, has loads of friends, wants to be friends with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Bailey's like, no one talk to me. No one look at me. Leave me alone.
Although have you found like, I don't know if it's because we're getting closer to him turning three, but it's slowly, he's getting more and more confident and comfortable. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, we were at your party, weren't we?
Yeah.
At the weekend for Bailey. Mm-hmm. And normally he would have sat with me the whole time.
Yeah.
But he went
so
off.
Nicely.
Yeah, until he fell and, you know, hit his head.
Yeah.
His poor head. See, it's always their heads. But even that, he recovered really quickly.
Yeah.
Once you, like, gave him a cake, he was like, okay, I'm going to eat this. And he was like, this is delicious.
Oh, bless him.
Like, we'll say thank you later.
Yeah, it is getting better. I mean, Bailey will, like, go off now, but he still, I very much notice he still plays by himself a lot of the time, which is fine because given the choice, I would not be around people a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Like, I'd love to work from home and just be by myself. I like my own company. Yeah. On that note, we have come to the end of our confessions, and that was so much fun. We'll definitely do more confessions in the future.
Yeah, I don't think they were too bad.
No, they weren't.
Like, even like the Poonami where it was in the leggings into the face, like
shit happens, literally.
Literally, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Same with fuck a duck.
Yeah, fuck a duck. Yeah, literally. So could you tell everybody where they can find you on social media?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me on The Mum Practitioner on Instagram and on Facebook if you fancy it. And yeah, that's it really, that's me.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming to my first ever proper studio recording. How very exciting. And thank you, Cheeky Monkey Videos, for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. As always, could you please subscribe, download and leave a review, and I would absolutely love it if you could share my podcast with your friends. I'll see you for the next episode.